out. Testing, testing. You go up, bro. Please. Well, it should be interesting this morning. Lord's been dealing with me for, let me just talk to you for a minute. Lord's been dealing with me a couple days now about doing this. And I've had a couple churches ask now and then about a testimony about what I went through with my voice. And I wrote the book back there, Pursuit. You know, it's about what we went through, and I just get tired writing or talking about myself. But it's like I'd rather talk about the Lord, and I'm trying to magnify the Lord through it. But this morning, I'm going to give personal testimony of the struggles with my voice and going in that direction of evangelism. And again, I've got notes. I don't know if I'll stick to them. I've never done this before. This is just a personal testimony, but I believe it's what the Lord had me to do. It's like, Lord, I got another study. It'd be far more interesting than that, you know. But it seemed like if I've discerned it right, it won't let me out of it. So we're going to go with it. So take your Bibles and go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And then also go to get that in one hand, get Ephesians. Let's see what I want. Probably about Ephesians 6. Yeah, that's it. John chapter 1, we'll read first, and then we'll go to Ephesians. And then we'll just go through this. Pastor, what time do you generally end? Quarter till or 10 till? All right, John chapter 1. And I remember this voice. I remember this verse. Remember this verse, after I came off the road and the Lord had called me to preach, and when you're called to preach, it's just there. It never leaves you. And I thought, what good am I, God, without a voice? I can't preach. And John chapter 1 and verse 23, he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way the Lord has said, the prophet Isaiah. And he says, I am the voice. And a preacher needs a voice. There's no doubt about that. I mean, yeah, you can go into the deaf ministry, I suppose, but that'd be like a deaf preacher without any hands. I mean, it just, you can't do it. And so I lost my voice. And then look at Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6 and verse 12. This verse is just, to me, is a verse that I think of often in all kinds of situations. He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And our wrestling is not with the flesh. And we get going through this life and we get thinking it's them or this or that or whatever, and it's not. It's a spiritual battle. And you got to remember that. But let's have a word of prayer as we get started. Father, God, I ask you to just make me a blessing. I pray more than anything you would be pleased. Father, I want to do your will. And God, I believe this is what you'd have me to do. I pray you bless it. And God, I pray you'd give me the words and guide me. And I don't know who it's for or whatever, Lord God. But I just pray you bless it now. And I pray that you'd lead, guide, and direct in this service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, I'd been searching for God's will. Like I say, Pursuit back there covers that. Finally realized that God wanted me in evangelism. And this will lead up to my voice. But finally realized God wanted me in evangelism. And you know, it is a spiritual, whatever you do, children, kids, whatever you are, if you're going to live for the Lord, you got to remember that it is a spiritual battle. And when I say battle, it is a battle. There's no doubt about it. It's a war. And you got to be a soldier. And the Bible goes on and on about that. And as I look back, and there's things I see now that I didn't see at the time, but I will tell what I see now as I was going through it. And by the way, I want to say this. God has given me a great wife. God has given me a great wife to go through what we've gone through and the mistakes I've made and wander here and wander there end up homeless and on trying to do God's will. God's given me a great wife. He really has. She's better than I deserve. There's no doubt about that. But as we started, and I realized it was evangelism, the last few months of Jubilee Baptist Church, we had let a girl and her daughter stay with us in our house and try to help her out. She didn't have where to live. Her husband left her, and she came up from San Diego, stayed with us. A member of our church that went to PBI, it was her daughter, and so we just tried to help out, let her move in. And that was a very stressful time. She's a single lady with a daughter. Very stressful things. Just coming to just not really meshing. And she didn't have a job, and it was stress before that. And then it got worse. And under the stress, I've talked to Terry and I've mentioned that I'll be going over some of this stuff. But as that stress, as she stayed there, then my wife got extremely insecure. And that just built more on the stress. And all this happened right about the time that I'm realizing I'm an evangelist. And this battle and things were never there before. Now, there was other things, but I wasn't in God's will. And I was trying to figure out God's will. But now began a new battle that I'd never been around before. And I'm like, what is going on? This was all new. And I'm trying to reassure her and trying to comfort her. And I come home from work and my wife's out getting the kids at school. The girl's at home, so I don't go in my own house. And I'm tired, and I want to go in my own house. Like, I don't dare. And I'm like, God, this is a mess, man. Things are not good here. And anyway, that stress was there. I find out about evangelism. We start going in that direction. And the Lord opened the door. I mean, the Lord just, I was scared to death. You know, I was never intimidated of pastoring. I just never was. I tried to pastor. It's like, okay, let's go do it. You know, let's go. And then when the thought of evangelism, it was like, you got to be kidding. I can't do that. I still am. Just to stand up here this morning is like, oh, I can't do that. But anyway, evangelism came. I started to realize that was the call. And just the intimidation, I just take these little baby steps towards evangelism, and the Lord just bless it. And I'd never seen God do that for me. When I tried to pastor, God never helped me. He did, honestly, He never did. I mean, I was on my own, and it was a mess. And then I go into evangelism, and I see Him bless, and it's like, wow, this is great. And I go to do some meetings, and He blessed those meetings, and it's like, wow, this is great. And all the while, my wife, she's insecure. And then as I pursue evangelism, my son, he had been, you know, like he had jobs there at home, and he was making good money and all that stuff, just teenager, and cleaning parking lots, making like 25 bucks an hour, you know, and doing that stuff. And he really liked it. And then I get into evangelism, and he's not happy. Now, he was obedient. He wasn't overtly rebellious, but it was like he wasn't happy. And I'm getting these battles, and I'm like, man, this is all new. And as I get into the churches, along with the stress of these things, then I wanted to make sure it was going to be a good service. I was just going to give it my best, you know, and I still try to. And I'd get in services, and in those days, and I probably did it some when I first came here, I'd get up to preach, and man, I'd give it every ounce I had, man. I'd just get preaching. I mean, my voice would go, whoosh, I'd hit there, and I'd just fly. And I remember the lower back cramping, because I was so just tensed up. Just lower back cramp, sweat running down my back, just preaching just as hard as I could. Why? I wanted to make sure it was the best service, you know, that I could do. But I wasn't trusting God. And that went on and on, and we got out, and the meeting's built, and boy, my schedule filled up, and it's like, wow, this is great. And as everything filled up, still there was the stress, and at the time, she didn't know it, I didn't know what it was. Terry was going through the perimenopause and that sort of thing, and man, we'd be at church and trying to serve God and all that stuff, and come back, and she's just She's out of it, man. She's out of it. And it's like, and I'm trying to reassure her, hold her hand, hug her, you know, whatever I can do. And she's just insecure and going through these things, and I don't know what to do. And we're on the road. And I'm like, God, what's, you know, what is this? And I'm praying, and then my son's not happy, and yet the ministry itself's doing good. And it's just this battle. And we get going, let's see where I'm at here. And the meetings are doing good, and then little by little, my voice begins to falter. And I'd be on the road preaching and get hoarse and that sort of thing. And we would go home. Each year, the time home gets smaller and smaller. I mean, first time it was like 3 months. Then it went down to 1 month. Then it went down to 2 weeks. Then it went down to a week. And then it was like, we can't get home. But each time I'd go home in those days, we would rest and my voice would come back. Well, it got to the point it wouldn't come back. And I would wonder what's going on. I didn't know what to do. I just, all I knew was to preach. That's God's will, and I knew it was God's will. And it got worse and worse, and with it going away, the rest didn't help, the singing, we were playing guitar and stuff, and it just continually got worse and worse. And at the same time, my wife, the perimenopause and all that stuff, it got worse. And then my son got worse, and it was like, man, you talk about just stressed and pulled and pressed out of measure. And I'm just like, God, help. You know, what's going on here? And I got to a point where I was out west and I went to a ear, nose, and throat doctor in Los Angeles that works with Hollywood stars and the rappers, the guys that abuse their voice and they lose it and all that stuff. And this pastor's wife said, this guy's good. I've been to him. Go to him. He can help you. I said, all right, I will. We saved up the money. Went to him. I think someone gave us some money to go as well. Went to him and he stuck the scope. They have those things sticking up your nose and it goes down. They look at your vocal cords. That's a real joy. And stuck that thing up my nose and he's looking at it. He says, you got pharyngitis. He says, you can't talk for three months. I said, all right. He said, if you talk, just whisper, don't just like that. He said, but don't raise your voice, don't talk. He said, no singing, no preaching, nothing, 3 months. He said, your vocal cords a little bit red, swollen. And that is the standard procedure if your voice is, that's the first thing they tell you. I said, all right. So we went back to our church. And I didn't do anything. I didn't use my voice per se. I mean, I talk a little bit, you know, at home. And that was about it. Go to church. You talk about hard. Now, some of you have no problem with it. But I'd go to church and to just sit there would drive me crazy. I mean, I couldn't amen. I couldn't sing a hymn. I couldn't do anything. I know some of you, that doesn't bug you. That's what you do. But nevertheless, you know, it bugged me. And I go up to the preacher and say, preacher, and with me, I'll tell you there's something that just bugs me. That is a PA system that isn't used right. That just bugs me. And they weren't using theirs right. I said, can I run the PA system? He said, sure. Now I got up there and I became the sound man. I'm cranking it up. And there's the, down in Yuma, there's a lot of elderly people, you know, that come down there for the winter and stuff. And they're going, wow, this is great. We can hear. And it's like, yeah, you know. So the Lord's doing something there, thank God, you know. But 4 months, I was there. 4 months. Don't preach. Don't talk. Don't sing. Nothing. 4 months go by. Got a meeting scheduled, ready to go, pack everything up. We head out. I get to the first meeting. It's been 4 months since I've really used my voice. Get the first meeting, first sermon. There's absolutely no change. My voice did not recover, did not come back, did nothing change. It was exactly the same. 15 minutes into that sermon, fear just crept over me. And I'm like, God, what do I do? I don't know what to do. I had no idea. All I knew was go preach. I got to go preach. And so I went on down the road and preaching process of time, I don't know if some months went by, a year, 2 years went by. We lost everything. We had sold our house and put everything in our home church, and the home church burnt down. We lost everything in fire. And it was like, well, okay, you know, that's all right, God, whatever, you know. And that pushed us more into evangelism. And I thought, well, Lord, on the external, I see it pushing me in evangelism, but God, I'm losing my voice. I don't understand. And it was going that way, and it was perplexing. All the while, my wife is still battling these things, and she's a soldier, man, and she's getting scripture, she's memorizing scripture, she's praying 1 hour, 2 hours at a time, she's memorizing, she's going over it, she even has a lesson on it, speaking to the churches at times about the struggles and that sort of thing, and all the while, my son, he's not happy being on the road and that sort of thing, just struggle after struggle. Everything burn up. God gave us the rig we have now about that time, which was a great, great blessing. And finally, I got on the web and I looked for voice doctors. I'm just doing a Google search, man, trying to find a voice doctor. Find this guy in Pittsburgh Medical Center. And I thought, hey, I'll go there. I'll go there. And I think, was it some of the insurance money from the stuff or... Okay, yeah. Church took a, my mind is gone. Took up an offering. I had some money. I think it was a couple thousand bucks, wasn't it? $1,500. And I said, I'll go to this. And this guy, this doctor had the alphabet after his name. You know what I mean? I mean, just all these letters. And Clark Rosen is his name. And I said, I'll go to Pittsburgh Medical Center. They had floors of, and this one floor, this vocal department, they had a section just for swallowing. They had another section just for voice, another section, I mean, it's that type of deal. Big old medical center. Go in there. 2 days they look at me. They put scopes down my nose, you know, down my throat. And I'm in the room, and they've got the scope down, up my nose, down my throat, looking at it. It's on the television. And there's 6 training doctors in there. They're full MDs, but it's a specialist hospital. Got 6 doctors. Clark Rosen, an otolaryngologist. No, he's the otolaryngologist. There was a speech pathologist from Vanderbilt in there. I mean, they're all staring at the television, and I'm there going, and they said, you know, and the guy says, preach. I'm like, you got to be kidding. All right. And I start preaching until I got to the word Jesus Christ. He said, all right, that's enough. You know, you talk about it. You were in there, weren't you? And man, they're looking at the television. They're thinking there's going to be nodules on my throat, on the vocal cords. And there weren't. It was smooth. And boy, that doctor, you know, he looked bored. He did. He just looked bored. We'd go in there. He says, all right, what you here for? I said, well, you know, I got, you know, and he could tell I couldn't talk. He said, what do you do? You know, I said, I'm an evangelist, you know, and stuff. And he said later on, he said, I figured you just had nodes and, you know, we'd find them and then we'd just laser them off, you know, standard procedure. And he got in there and they weren't there. And boy, he perked up like, wow, something out of the ordinary, you know. And he's like, well, try this, try that. You know, they're going on and on and on. And they took me 2 days in there. I know, we'll forget the speech pathologist after they examined, took the pictures and watched it and all that stuff. Next day, I went in to see her. She wrote a sentence out. She wrote 2 of them, actually. She said, read that top one and I could read it fine. She said, read the next one. And I couldn't read it. I mean, the top one I just read, you know, talks. Next one, I went, I couldn't read it. And certain words, certain phonetic sounds. And I remember just staring at me. Her mind's just going, you know. Anyway, the conclusion was Botox. They said, we need to treat you with Botox. We can inject it in your neck. And you've got a spasm in there. And it'll let that thing relax. And it'll make your voice work and all that sort of thing. And the injections are about $1,200. And they're good for about 3 to 4 months, maybe 6 months, and then you got to come back for more. And it's a series of injections over and over and over. And I said, well, I said, I don't have any insurance. And they're like, in our department, no, some here with no insurance. And sure enough, And they go, well, there's things we can do. And they contacted, I don't know what they did, but they were going to be able to give it to me for free. And or a nominal charge. And I said, I don't want to do it. I said, I'm not ready for that. And I left, and they were like, well, would you come back, man? They want, I was one out of like a 50,000 or 500,000. I mean, I was one of those rare ones, and they just wanted to guinea pig me. You know, it's like, ooh, let's study this. Wow, out of the ordinary, you know. And I left there, and they told me this. They said, go ahead and preach. You're not hurting your voice. I'm like, I'm not. I said, no. It says not from the preaching. Okay. And I started going back preaching, and it got worse, and it got worse, and it got worse. And I was preaching down at PBI, and the song leader down there, Dave Gervins, he said, what's wrong with your voice when I got done? And I said, well, they tell me I got spasmodic dysphonia. And he said, I know somebody that can help you. And by then, folks, I'd had so many people come up, here, try a cough drop. Here, try aloe vera. Here, try lemon juice. The greatest one was lemon juice and cayenne pepper. Whew. Wow. Ah, that was rough, man. That was rough. And those home remedies, that they do one of two things, basically. They either clean the vocal cords, which is the lemon juice and cayenne pepper or vinegar or any of that stuff, or they soothe them, like the aloe vera or the honey. And it's generally one of those two things. Well, mine was neither, so none of those worked. And but I know the people meant well, but you know, he goes, I know somebody can help you. And I'm like, yeah, right. And he goes, no, really. He said, she treats people that work on the floor of the stock exchange. And boy, I heard that. And I said, well, he said, I'll call her and you can get in and see her. And I said, well, I'm going to be up that way. It's in New Jersey. And I did. I went and saw her. And I remember when I called her, I said, this is Ken McDonald, Brother Gervin said it, you know, that I, and she said, you got spastic dysphonia, don't you? I said, yeah, that's what they tell me. She goes, I can hear it. It took Pittsburgh Medical Center 2 days. It took her 2 minutes. And she wasn't even a medical doctor. She's an opera singer and lost her voice. And she and this Jewish doctor had developed this therapy to get your voice back. She had been singing, lost her voice, and she is quite a lady, quite a lady. Just an amazing lady. So anyway, I went to her for a week, did the exercises, and then I went on preaching. And my voice got worse and worse. And I think I was right up here. I think I was up here. I was 05. And I know I was at Brother Weiss's down there in Madison. And I was here. And I was fighting a cold like I am today. I'm like, God, what is it with this place? I was fighting a cold. And I think I went from here to Brother Weiss's. And from there to Niehaus. And at Brother Niehaus's, and I'd always said this, I said, if it ever gets to the point where they can't understand what I'm saying, I gotta quit. When I went to John Niehaus's a couple weeks after I was here, I was preaching on a Sunday morning. Sunday night, a lady came up to me and said, Brother McDonald, I can't understand what you're saying. And I said, oh. And what was going on? My vocal cords, if you think of rubber bands that have been overstretched and they're loose, when the air would come up, they would just open. And the air would just go right through. And I don't know what I said to her. It wasn't much, I'm sure, because I couldn't talk. By then, when I'd get done preaching, I'd just leave because I couldn't talk. I couldn't talk to anybody. She told me that, and I went home and I prayed. After the service that night, I prayed Monday, and Tuesday I announced that I was coming off the road. And I had to get to the point where I just had to surrender everything. And it was like, I had to say, Lord, if I lose it all, and I wasn't going to be working. I have no insurance. I had no savings. I had nothing. All I had was God and the promises and this book. And a call to preach. And I just thought, Lord, if I lose it all, I mean, you've already burned up our stuff. But we had a RV and a truck now. If I lose it all and get my voice back, I can always get back preaching. But if I lose my voice, I don't have a voice. What can I do? And I announced that I was coming off the road and just surrendered. And I didn't know where I was going to stay. She's in New Jersey. I located everybody I knew within a certain radius of her. And there was one man, Arnie Abrahamson. And they have a house in Walden, New York. And I looked on the map, and he was about an hour and 15 minutes away. And I thought, well, that's within distance. I called him up, and I said, Brother Arnie. He said, yes. And I said, you know, this is what's going on. Could I park my rig at your house? I didn't know what their house looked like. It's New York, you know. I don't know. And he said, yeah. Yeah, you can park it there. And it was a tight fit. I mean, that's where those houses are, right? I had a driveway that was, I mean, that rig's like, was it 9 feet wide or something like that? That driveway was 12 feet wide. I had to back that thing up. It was amazing. God got me in there. He did. God got me in there. And at this time, Terry's really in a rough way. I mean, the stress was just phenomenal. She's just, if I said one word the wrong way, it would trigger fear and worries and anxiety, and she'd be going, and you know, and I pray and whatever, no matter what I did, it was wrong. And I'm dealing with that, and then my voice is gone. I've just come off the road, and I've got that, and it's to the point where my marriage, I'm like, God, what's going to happen? Because it just looked real close to the edge. I just can't explain the pressure that we were under. And God was so merciful. And a brother calls me up and says, Brother Ken, I hear you're coming off the road. And I think I sent out some emails. And I said, yeah, I can't. And boy, he started sending out letters. Could you help him? Could you help him? And I mean, the Lord started bringing money in. And the bills were getting paid. And I saw the hand of God. When I had no, there was nothing I could do. And I saw the hand of God saying to me, Ken, I do want you to preach. It's going to be all right. And the money came in, and the Lord got us through. And I remember calling up Bryant Legault, and I had a meeting. I had to cancel meetings. I canceled 3 months of meetings. Every week was full. I remember calling Bryant Legault. He's in Martinville, New York. Called him up and said, Brother, I've got to cancel. My voice is gone. And he said, well, you know, when you think you can do it, you know, give me a ring back. I said, well, I should be back on the road in about 3 months. And I remember him saying, Brother Ken, it might be longer than that. And I remember going, No, it'll be all right. 3 months, I should be fine. She's going to work with me. It'll be okay. And he goes, but Ken, you just have to be prepared. It might be longer than that. And I wouldn't listen to him. I'm like, no. It'll be all right. And I remember going down to Alma, going in there, and she'd work me on the piano. You sit there, and she's a short little German lady. At the time, she's 82 years old. I didn't know if she was saved or not, but I knew one thing. When I got in that lesson, I was going to pray before we did it. And I walked in there, and she walks over in her living room. She's got a grand piano there. She has a box of Kleenex. She sets a box of Kleenex on the piano. There's a chair right by there, and I sit down. And she says to me, I will make you cry. I don't know. And she says, I will make you cry. And I'm like, I don't know what she's talking about. And I'm sitting down there, you know, and she hits a note and says, hum, external, you know, out. And I hum, and, you know, she's trying to find my range and stuff. And then she goes, now, in. And I went, I'm just joking. And she goes, all right. And she's just sitting there, you know. And she does the next one. Out. In. And I'm just choking. Tears start rolling down my eyes. And she says, I told you, I will make you cry. And I mean, for the next 6 months, that was an hour of choking. Literally just choking. There were times she'd go up to the highest note I could hit, and then she'd try to get me two more. She says, and now I can hit those fine. But that time I couldn't, man. And I remember there were times I'd just go on the ends. I just as hard as I could. And she goes, I know. And you just choke. And she says, but we've got to wake it up. We've got to get that thing working. And I'd walk out of there. Terry'd be with me. I'd walk out of there soaking wet. And I'd say, honey, you drive. And I'd just sit back. And I mean, just, it was an hour of work. It really was. And she said, now, it might get worse before it gets better. And I'm like, what? 3 months go by. My voice was worse. I'm thinking, she doesn't know what she's talking about. She's wrecking my voice. Whatever little was left, she's ruining it. But I had nowhere else to go other than Botox, and I didn't want to do that. And I had nowhere, and I'm thinking, oh no, man, she's wrecking my voice. And man, if this doesn't work, I got nowhere to go. And at the same time, it was getting so bad at home that Rebecca and I would actually get in the truck and go up to a park and get out of the trailer. Because it was so stressful at home. And Terry didn't want to be that way. I knew she didn't want to be that way. But I didn't know what to do. We'd been dealing with it now for a number of years, and it was like, what's going on? 3 months go by, my voice is worse. I look at my schedule, and I got to cancel more meetings. That wasn't easy. I had to sit down and call him up. Brother, I can't make it. And I'd hang up the phone, and I'd just cry. And I'd cry and dry my eyes and get myself together and call the next guy. I had to cancel another 3 months of meetings. That was rough, man. It was rough. And I'm praying. I'm like, God, what's going on? God, what am I going to do? And all through this time, Lord's bringing money in and the bills are getting paid. I'm seeing God's hand work. And at the same time, I forget exactly when it was, but my wife, she talked to somebody or whatever, and she contacted a pharmacy in Missoula, Montana. Might have been Mrs. Halfman, I think it was. And contacted her, and she said, talk to this pharmacist. And anyway, the pharmacist gave her some cream that she rubbed on. I think it was progesterone cream or something like that. And that kind of got her under control for just a few months. And she's like, wow, I can think. And it kind of brought her back, like, wow, there's my wife. And we're going down the road and somewhere, and she's saying, well, Shackley's got some stuff, and Nature Sunshine's got some stuff. I don't know which one to choose. And I just told her, I said, I'd take Shackley. Shackley is, you know, tests all their stuff. I said, I'd just go Shackley. And I'm not pushing anything this morning, don't get me wrong. I'm just telling you what happened to us. And she ordered this stuff. It's called GLA. It's gamma linoleic acid is what it is. And she ordered this stuff, and she starts taking it. I mean, she's a different lady. I mean, this is just a natural thing, or whatever. I don't know, whatever it is, it's great. And she started taking this GLA, and I mean, she was happy. She was normal. She was like, and I'm like, this is too good to be true, man. This is, wow, I got my wife back. This is really something, man. Because it was very stressful. It was bad. And I call it Girl Laughs Again. That's my name. I mean, that stuff, and there's been some other ladies that have described this thing, and she's told them about it, and they've used it, and it's helped them. Some other ladies, it hadn't helped them. But there's some others that it has. But I mean, it really has, it just, That was God. But when we came off the road between that and my voice, you talk about a pressure. It was an amazing thing. 6 months go by, and my voice is not better. It was not worse. It dropped for 3 months and then start to pick up a little bit, and then it would drop and pick up and drop and pick up. You go through these changes and stuff. And 6 months gone by, it's about Christmas time. And I got to cancel all my meetings. And I canceled them all. But nothing. It's absolutely nothing. And when I first went to Alma, she said, it's going to take you about 5 years to get your voice where it ought to be. And she said, this is not a quick fix, but it will reverse what's wrong, which is very important. It's not a Band-Aid. It actually reverses what's wrong. And she said, it's going to take you about 5 years. And I'm like, well, I don't know. She doesn't know what she's talking about. And six months went by. I had to cancel it all. Got working my voice. I think I'd been there about a year, and I said, I want to go out and preach. It's good enough. Now I can go preach. And I came up this way. I don't think I came here. I went to Brother Schaefer's in Iowa. And I came up and I started preaching. And it was all right. It wasn't real good. Got to Arizona and it collapsed. My voice gave out. Just went gone. I remember trying to preach and I'd go, and nothing come out. And I'm like, oh. I remember preaching Four Sides of Calvary at Brother Ware's in Phoenix. And I mean, it was just like, oh, God. And I had to come back. And I wanted to be on the road so much. I wanted to go preach so much. And I remember we had to come back. I remember going by, we went by Bill Greer's down there in Cincinnati. Sunday morning, they start singing. I mean, I'm in the pew. I'm just crying. He doesn't know why. He's thinking, well, Brother McDonald's got to go back to, and he's thinking the church we had to go to, and the church we were going to was an absolute mess. Absolute mess. And I was crying because I couldn't preach. I wanted to get up behind that pulpit so much, and I wanted to preach so bad, and I couldn't preach. I had to go back. And Terry said to me, she's doing good by this time, you know. But she says, we can park anywhere, but I do not want to go to Faith Baptist Church. 30 minutes later, ring. Who is it? Faith Baptist Church. Preacher said, Brother McDonald, I hear you're coming back this way. I said, yeah, that's right. He said, well, if you, Brother Carl, the deacon in his church, said, you're coming, asked, why don't we let him park at the church? I said, well, brother, I said, that'd be a blessing because I don't know where we're going. He said, well, you can park at our church. He didn't really want us there, but the deacon did. And the deacon, he's a Jewish lawyer. Anyway, he works in Manhattan. And Carl's a good man. Good man. And I said, that'd be great. And we are parked in the parking lot of that church. And folks, I think God used them. And I don't know, it's hard to explain all this. But that church was a mess. My wife, my daughter had never been in something like that. They're just sitting there like, this is crazy. The preacher's getting the sermons off the internet. You know, it's just like, yeah, it was. I mean, there was a guy in the church, a kid in Christian school. And every Monday they had to give an outline of what they heard Sunday. Well, he would get the text, the preacher would give the text and the title, and then he wouldn't pay attention. He'd go home, pull it up on the internet, and print it out and turn it in. That's right. You know, and we're just sitting there like, you know, I'm trying to be a blessing, and man, it was a very difficult situation because, you know, you don't want to cause trouble. I just want my voice. That's all I want. I'm here, you know, long story short, look, I'm trying to get my voice. And it's getting better and better, and praise God for that. Little by little, I'm going out and preaching. And then that church has a big exodus, and I get blamed for it. And I'm like, we were in Tennessee when everybody left. I mean, you know, but by, you know, the Ruckmanite makes a good scapegoat. And, but really, I'm in the middle of trying to get my voice, God used us, and I will say it was the Lord used us, and there's another church that started. The guy that left, there was two guys in that church called to preach. And when I see a man called to preach and he's not preaching, there's no mercy. I have no mercy. It's like, well, when are you going to preach? Why don't you get on the street? Why don't you go to a nursing home? What, you called to preach? Yeah. Well, why aren't you preaching? Well, you know. And I worked with this one guy. I was giving him some music and some sermons and stuff, just trying to encourage him. And it wasn't really, he wasn't responding. And I wasn't trying to cause trouble or anything like that, but just trying to encourage him. And he said, he goes, yeah, I know I'm called to preach. There's this other guy. He is a rugged dude. His name's Corey. Kind of rough. Grew up fighting. Just grew up fighting. He was the neighborhood bully. And bald, you know, shaved his head, pumping iron, big old guy, stocky guy. And he'd eye me. He'd just kind of look at me. He's like, and Corey's teaching Sunday school. And one day, I don't know, I said, you called to preach? And he's kind of, well, I don't know. I said, well, here's the signs. And I start on him. And he goes, well, according to those, yeah, I can say him. I said, well, you need to figure that out, man. And so I started giving him some stuff. And boy, he took it. He like grabbing a football and running for the finish line, man. He left the church intending to go to Bible school. I know I'm talking about my voice, but anyway, in the middle of trying to get my voice, all this stuff starts going on, and I'm like, you know, it's a mess. And I'm thinking, Lord, what is going on? Why am I here? And Brother McCaw and his wife, I'd say that now and then, they'd say, you're here for us. And I'm like, oh, yeah, right. You know, and I'm just like, and it's just an absolute mess. I mean, their youth leader has got a gothic music on his MySpace page, you know. And, he's giving the salute to the devil, you know, on his MySpace, you know, like that, you know. And he's the youth leader in the church. Not only that, he's a preacher's son and lives at home. You know, and it's like, God, what is going on? I mean, just a mess. You know, they're rearranging services, the youth, not the main, but the youth, so that they can watch the Super Bowl. Big, brother. And they brought a big old screen TV in the basement, you know, and they're, you know, ordering subs and all on the church account. And I mean, just a mess. And Corey's like, I'm out of here. I'm gone. I'm going to Bible school. And he leaves, and some other people go, well, we're going too. They said, no, you guys go back there. And they said, no, we're not going back there. Long story short, he starts a church, and there, matter of fact, in next month, Lord willing, he's getting ordained. And I'm just thinking, Lord, thank you. I mean, what a privilege to be able to do something for God in the middle of a storm, in the middle of no voice, in the middle of, it looks like absolute failure. God raises up a church and people get saved and they're street preaching now and on and on and on. It's like, man, I never would have imagined. And once that church got on its feet, then a little bit after that, the Lord gives me the go-ahead to go back on the road, which was in August. And it was just a valley that seemed like it would never end. And it just 3 years. I've been trying to get my voice. 3 years. Almost says it'll take 5. And I still need to work it on the road and it'll get better, but by the grace of God. But 3 years, just day after day after day after day. Lord, what am I going to do? Lord, what's going on? Lord, what do I do for my wife? Lord, it's just on and on and on. It's just a battle. And by the grace of God, He got us through and just carried us on. And I got any more notes, but I just thank God the Lord's merciful, and He purged some things out of my life. And got to know him in a different way. And when I get up behind the pulpit now, it's different. It always was a great privilege to preach. But there's something different now. And I just really appreciate the privilege to get up here. I know it was God. Because I was at the point, there was nothing, I couldn't preach. I couldn't speak, couldn't do anything. And God just, Alma, that vocal method, there is another teacher, but she developed it with a Jewish doctor. Folks, there's nowhere else in the world that does that. She was the beginner. She's taught another lady. Actually, the lady worked with Dr. Smallover. But she and the other lady, they're the only two instructors in the world that do this therapy. It's just, I mean, they pioneered this therapy to get your voice back. They pioneered it. And I thought, God, I mean, he sent me to the best and only teacher. I know there's another one, but Alma was the best. She's the one that started the whole thing with that doctor. And God sent me there, and I just saw the hand of God through it all in ways that it's like, okay, Lord, that he would give you peace. But when you looked with your eyes, it didn't look like anything was going to happen. It looked like it was crazy. And I remember some trips. I had to drive an hour, hour and a half to get down to Alma. I'd be in the truck driving down. And I remember one day in particular, I was listening to the music. I think it was the Brother CD. And I'm going down there one day in particular, and I was able to actually almost sing one of the songs with them. And I got in there, I said, Alma, you got to hear this. And I gave her the CD, and she put it in, you know. And I'm singing with it a little bit. And man, I'm just flying. Just flying. I said, wow, this is great. I said, Alma, I was able to sing with it. Man, you sing the songs. I remember when I came off the road, you know, you got the measures in the music. I'd take a breath and I'd try to sing. It would take me two measures. Two measures would go by before I could get a note out. And I'd get two notes out and I'd have to take another breath. And it would take two more measures to get another note out. And now I can just sing in the voice that's just there. Now I remember one day going down there. I don't know if I'd ever preach again. God gave me an outline. He gave me that outline to four sides of Calvary. I remember driving down there and God just getting in that truck and I'm just thinking about the cross and thinking about the Lord dying and just what he did and how they were looking on him, and as the Lord looked out and hell was looking up and heaven was looking down, and I said, wow, that would really preach. And I just wrote a little basic outline there. And I got down to Alma. I said, Alma, look what God gave me on the way down. I said, you know, and I showed her the outline. She just kind of looked at it. It didn't mean much to her. And it's just the Lord saying, you'll preach again one day. You'll preach again one day. And by the grace of God, he gave me my voice back. And I, by the grace of God, I'm preaching again. And it's a great privilege. I don't know. I just believe the Lord wanted me to bring that this morning. The Lord's good. I'm looking forward to getting to heaven. I really am. Let's pray. Father, I just pray you bless the testimony. And I pray you'd use it as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Well, that was a lot, about a lot more than a guy getting his voice back. Men, you ought to be able to find some things in there for just about everybody in here, right? Men? Let's have a word of prayer again. We'll go to have a break. Father, just appreciate somebody getting up and bearing their soul here. I know that exposure, Lord, is sometimes uncomfortable. We appreciate it. Appreciate what they've been through. And just ask that you would remember them, and we look forward to the rest of the day here. But we pray that you'd bless what's already been done. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, y'all take a break.